Good evening.
Log Talk Radio.
This is We Talk Productions, one of the few black radio networks that address issues and explore solutions for the black community, presents Black Urban America. All you folks that listen by laptop, if you want to call in, dial 516-531-9540. That's 516-531-9540 and press 1. Here's the lineup for this week. On Tuesday, we have Black Urban America. I'm your host, and my name is Kenny Jones. Tomorrow night, on Wednesday night, we have The Cutting Edge with Michonne Williams. On Thursday night, we have Port of Harlem with Wayne A. Young. And finishing up the week on Saturday, we have Provocative Thought with Carlton Steve. All shows starts at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, tonight, we're going to discuss a different topic. What is art and culture? Are black artists excluded from the mainstream? And when we talk about art, you know, we're not talking about music. We talk about painting, sculpture, and all that. Are black artists involved in our community? Now, tonight we have a couple. They own their own art gallery. No, studio gallery is what's called. 9.18.9. And this is a couple. And last week we were talking about relationships and what have you, how it's hard to maintain a relationship. And here tonight we have a couple. I don't know how long they've been together, but they have a business together. They are co-owners. So tonight I'd like to introduce you to Mr. Arthur Rogers and Mrs. Joanne Rogers. Welcome to Black Urban America.
Thank you, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Good to be here.
Thank you for coming on. And I know Mrs. Rogers, I know that you just had an opening on Saturday, and I know you haven't been feeling too good. You might be a little overly tired for all the work that you do with these artists and whatnot. You too, Mr. Rogers. I'd like to start off by asking you, huh?
I was going to say, actually, we had two openings on the same day in two different locations.
Wow. And you want to say, Ms. Rush, why you haven't been feeling so well? You've been working hard.
It's this pollen, man. It's this pollen getting me.
It's this time of the year. It's this time of the year. I'd like to start off by asking, has traditional art and design, is it linked to racist historical legacy and images in America?
Wait a minute. I'm not sure what question you just asked. Is it meant to? I didn't hear the question.
Oh, is traditional art and the design, is it linked to racist images and racist legacies in America?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying. And yes, in a way, we have been very much misrepresented or conditioned to see ourselves represented in a certain way throughout history by the art. Even the artists have been conditioned to create in a certain way because they were told it would be more acceptable, to other cultures, you know. So and also the art. Art is a way of recording history. Art is a way to tell a story, and the story has been told from a lens that does not really want to uplift people of color. So, yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Oh, absolutely. I agree. You know, my personal narrative is kind of the anti-traditional narrative. It's not primitive, and it's not capitalizing on a lot of the pain that we as a people have suffered. It seems that the work that's been accepted is always glorifying or commemorating or celebrating the struggle. And we're more than that. Our people are more diverse than that. We're more complex than just a struggle. We have happiness. We have joy. We have family. We have triumphs. We have accomplishments. We have love. We have celebrations. And, yeah, so a lot of the work that's been put out has been of that other narrative.
Right. It perpetuates certain negative stereotypes of our culture. So, you know, we...
Some of the stereotypes do they perpetuate?
Our history is wrapped and centered around slavery. It's always about the depressed people, the oppressed people.
You know, the angry, the sad, the suffering, that we're always less than, that we should strive to be more like the culture that has pretty much stole us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it does not celebrate our true beginnings. Art depicts us as though our beginnings started with slavery, and they want to hold us that way. So that's a big thing. We see a lot of the collectors veer towards artwork that depicts the cotton fields and the slaves and the suffering, or the over-sexualized, or the angry, or, you know, they celebrate this. And for us, we really, you know, want to show the other parts of us, the parts of us that were the first people to have schools, the kings and the queens, the loving families. You know, we want to show that, the people who overcome, the people who have joy through all of the suffering they want to throw at us, we have joy. So, yeah.
Yes, that's
what we look at.
Yeah, that's important that story be told about us. Like you said, Mr. Rogers, we do have successes and we do have family, positive family, and what have you. Yes, I understand that. What type of hurdles do Black artists have to overcome to be connected, or to be considered, or to be shown, or what have you? Are there hurdles?
I think there are many hurdles, yes, but we're very capable. I think one of the hurdles is the belief that has been bred into them, the belief that has been taught to them, they are less than. You know,
to them, when you say them, who you mean?
Artists of color. You know, that they have been taught that their work has been less than, what comes natural to them is not acceptable. They need to change the way they create. And the other thing is the doors that are open to them. There are many more doors open to white artists than there are for artists of color. And we've
mm-hmm.
seen that, struggling to find places to show the work of these amazing artists where we don't have to put them on the easels or put them in fairs or put them in spaces that really are not worthy of the talent of these artists. So, yeah, they have to strive to gain space, and they also have to strive to recover from all of the misinformation that have been fed to them all their lives that makes them feel as though they're less than.
Hey, Mr. Rogers.
Oh, I know. I totally agree. I'm with her on that. Absolutely. I mean, I had the same conversation kind of with my son the other day about, you know, the ever-reaching and the impact, the long-lasting impact of British colonialism. And when are we going to be able to shake that and overcome that and grow to not have that be the foundation of all the thinking on a cultural, economic, and social level.
Mm-hmm.
Art is going to be the catalyst to help change that.
You think that these artists, I'm moving away from my questions that I have prepared for, you think these young artists, or well, before I ask you that, every person that come on this show that represent their field or lane always say that the other culture is preventing this and preventing that, and we're not included in this or that. And my response are always, why can't we just have our own? How can we always be accepted, as you say, Mrs. Rogers, by that culture?
And that is definitely what we, our goal. That's what we, that's our mission. Why are you always seeking approval from someone who does not want to give that to you, whose mission is to keep you from even self-acceptance? Why can't we create our own? And for us, we have. Instead of waiting for spaces or waiting for people to give us a hand, we've created our own. Instead of asking for a seat at a table, like they say, we built the table. We needed a gallery,
right.
We had a waiting list. We bought a house. You know, we're not waiters, and we don't have to. But the mentality of so many people, it's been taught to them for so long that they've kind of accepted that. And the thing is to undo that narrative, to teach them their value and make them demand that and have them understand that the top ceiling is not when a black artist gets into an all-white gallery. You know, they should not look at that as success. They should look at success as having their own and including their own people. You know, not hey, I'm the one black person in this white gallery, so that must be success. Success is not a color.
Right. Miss Sean, you have any questions for the couple?
Yes, I do. How can an artist engage a community to make steps toward social progress?
The easiest thing is to show up. There are events. Become engaged in the arts community and show up. The easiest thing to do whenever there are art openings, whether there are artist talks, where there are events, cultural events, show up and represent and show them that you belong in this space. That's the easiest thing to do, because just by being there, you're going to learn and glean information. You're going to understand processes, because a lot of artists don't have the information that's necessary to get some of these grants that are out there, to get some of the opportunities, because they are not in the know. And you know, for us, we've been doing this now a little over 10 years, and we would go to art events and we would get in the car and we'd be like, oh my gosh, I don't want to go to this no more. I'm tired. Can we just go home? And we would get there and we would have a great time. We'd make some amazing connections. And on the way home, we would say, I'm so glad that we went, because now we know, now we're equipped.
The thing too is, I remember, you know, I'm a very curious person. I don't accept people telling me who I should be or where I should be, because how do they know? So if I'm interested in something, I'm going to go check it out. And so many times I've entered rooms where I was the only woman of color, and I'd look around and I would see no black men. And I would come back to the palette table and I'd say, why? Come to this place. Nobody told me I couldn't be in it. We're just so used to those things not being for us. But nobody can tell you that you can't be in there. So just go. Just show up. Just get in there. Get the information. Go out in your community. As a creative, there are so many different creative ways to engage the community. You could literally just take an easel, go to a park, stand there painting, put out an ad on social media, say, you know, giving free lessons in this spot. There's just so many ways to engage the community. Go to your the schools and ask to teach. Ask what they need. You know, there are a lot of different ways to engage the community.
What are the relationships between?
I have a question for you, Mr. Rogers. This is between me and Mr. Rogers, and I'm getting away from the question I want to ask you, but something that you said in your response, Mrs. Rogers, that this question just popped in my mind. Mr. Rogers, I know a lot of brothers. I grew up with a lot of young, I grew up with brothers, right? And a few of them were great with the with the brush or the pencil. I mean, they were great, but they never were encouraged to go down that lane. And on the other side, they felt it was corny to have that God-gifted talent. I mean, to me, you can't teach art. You got to be born with that talent. Like, you're born as a sprinter. I mean, you fast naturally. You're naturally a sprinter. But how can you encourage young black men that have this talent to at least explore the possibility that they could go down there instead of being on the corners?
Another young man.
Right. So if you are, you never want to be the smartest person in the room because you're never going to learn anything. So if you want to be a millionaire, you surround yourself with millionaires. If you want to be an artist, then surround yourself with other like-minded people. Find a mentor. Again, just go to museums. Just show up. Don't worry about what other people are saying. You know, this is your journey. This is your life. And not everyone is gifted with that sight, that ability to reproduce. Now, I've been teaching art and design for over 20 years, and I do believe that people can be taught if they want to. You just got to be in the room with other like-minded people and put in the work, and it will come. Everyone has this ability. Some have it more natural than others, but it can be taught. But for young black men to not be an artist, that boggles my mind that they would even think that it would be corny. For me growing up, it's what saved my life. It's what kept me sane. I went to 22 different schools before I got to high school. I went to one school for a week. It was the one thing that was the constant in my life. It was the one thing that allowed me to find my own peace and to break the ice and make friends. It's a way of communicating. And the monetary rewards can be there if you put in the work. I mean, I can mention a lot of young artists out there who are being commissioned by some celebrities, you know. And it's just, it's there. You just got to put in the work, and you got to believe in it.
We have a lot of black creatives going to spaces where there are young people, and pretty much blowing their minds with the creativity, with the artwork, and showing them that yes, it's cool. So in order for them to not be ashamed of their gift or to not think that it is something that is worthy of following up on, they need to see those mentors. They need to see someone like them doing that, someone who they look at and think is cool. You know, they need to see someone doing that and succeeding at it. So that's also what we try to do as a group, is to really engage the youth and, you know, pull out and look for those that are creative or that art would help them. Which, to be quite honest, I think art is necessary for our youth. But yeah, I think if you take these people who are making the money, who are writing the books, who are making incredible artwork, and you bring them and show these children what they're doing, these kids would, you know, be more in awe and more be likely to follow through on their own gifts.
Sorry, Michonne, for cutting you off. I know you had another question, but I just had to get that question off. Go ahead, Michonne.
What is the relationship between politics and art?
Okay. The relationship, I'm sure my husband's going to have much more to say.
Yeah, it seems like the brother be on it. It looks like Mr. Rogers be on it, man.
Oh, yeah. But politics and art. Art is a way of recording. Art is a way of spotlighting. Art is a language that reaches across so many barriers, so it's potent. So when you take thing really going on and you put art to it, it has the ability to reach more of a mass of people, more diverse people. It has a further reach, and people are using art again to just record history and record politics and do it in a way that reaches many people. And I'm going to pass this to my husband.
Well, I try to stay out of the political theater as much as I can.
Which is difficult.
Because it is, because there are other people who are better equipped and find comfort in being in that space. That's just not who I am. I'll affect change with my quiet words, with my actions, and with my representation, personally and physically, and in my artwork, and what I choose to paint, and what I choose to talk about, places that I choose to go, and things that I choose to do. But I'm not the traditional activist or arts activist. I approach it from a different point of view.
Now, you spoke of change.
You spoke
of change, right? Why do you think black artists who think they should be in the forefront of change, should they be in the forefront of change? If so, how so?
Why not?
Somebody's got to do it.
I mean, why shouldn't they be? If they feel they should be there, then that's where they should be.
Absolutely.
And how should they do that? They're showing us exactly how they do that. They're going out there, and they are making their narrative known without saying a word. And you see how strong it is. These posters that are being put up, this artwork that's being created and shown all over the world, you know, if they feel that that's where they need to be, then that's exactly where they need to be. And I think they're doing an amazing job because art is it's a less violent way, really, of telling a story, of telling that story. It puts it in your face, where you really have to take it in, but it makes it in a way easier to take in the narrative when it comes to art.
Well, you know, they tell athletes just shut up and dribble. Suppose they tell y'all just shut up and draw or paint.
Okay, that's fine.
Who cares what they say?
That's fine. And draw, because I can still speak with my hands.
Uh-huh. But the thing is, who are they to tell me what to do? You know, we've been listening to people telling us what to do for way too long. Who gave them the right to tell us what to do? They did, and they told us they had that right. Now we're taking that back. It is our right to decide our lives. It is our right to narrate our lives. It is no one else's story to tell but ours. So if we have something to say, nobody should be telling us to shut up. And if they do, well, it's their right to say it, and it's our right to not listen.
Good luck with that.
You know, the average person can name 10 football players, 10 basketball players, 10 rappers, even 10 singers, you know. But when it comes to your field, do you think the black artists, your artists have been, your contemporaries have been overlooked? The average person can't name 10 artists. I know I can't.
That's changing, though. That's changing. Wonderfully, we're seeing that change.
Right. You know, it's. I can't tell you more than probably 5 mathematicians. I can't tell you more than.
Hey, that's a crime.
Is it?
Yeah, it is.
But at the same time,
we should know our black inventors, especially historically. We built this world.
No, that's not what we're saying. We know that. And that, by the way, those are creatives as well.
And
those are artists.
And you said contemporaries.
Yeah.
You said contemporaries. So those same 5 that I would maybe be able to name, would they be able to name 5 contemporary abstract artists or portrait painters or sculptors?
They're all important.
But that doesn't mean that those artists whom they can't name don't have prominence in society or have influence in their communities. It's just not something that they're used to. We are not a monolithic people.
Right. Agreed.
We have other interests. My son, for example, he speaks three different languages. He's fluent in Japanese. He's fluent in Spanish and Portuguese. How many other black men under the age of 25 do you know that can do that?
But that doesn't diminish.
That doesn't minimize or marginalize those who cannot.
Because those who cannot have other gifts that we don't know about.
Exactly.
So we shouldn't be.
We are not
monolithic. I don't believe that's a good measure of someone's value, how many people, you know. But I do see where you're coming from. And the prominence of these artists that are making so many changes in the world and that are so necessary has been undervalued for a very long time. But I do believe people are realizing the value of it. For instance, when it was taken out of schools, look at the chaos that it caused in the children. You know, when they did not have that outlet for art, they start going crazy. They have no emotional outlet. They're looking at computers. They don't, you know, a lot of them don't really understand how to emotionally connect because they're not giving those ways to, what's the word I'm looking for, babe?
To express
themselves. Yeah, they're not giving any other ways to express themselves. And that's what I believe the arts give to these children. It gives them a different way of speaking and a different way of being heard and just a different way of expressing themselves.
A safer way. For example.
And, you know, it's ironic that you mentioned that, Mrs. Rogers, because in some therapeutic settings, art is utilized a whole lot with children. Yes. And matter of fact, they have a whole school of thinker called art therapy. I'm sorry, Mr. Rogers, go ahead.
Sure. But I was saying, and back to your other statement there, you know, and not knowing the contemporaries. So I'm personal friends with Gordon C. James. Do you know who Gordon C. James is?
No, I'm unaware of Mr. Gordon.
Okay, Gordon C. James, he's an artist. He's an illustrator who lives here in Charlotte and has won every literary artistic award in existence except the Pulitzer. He lives right here in Charlotte. He wrote Crown, Ode to the Fresh Cut.
Mm-hmm.
He illustrated Crown along with Derek C.
Letter
Barnes.
Buck about the Cowboys. The
right,
Cowboys.
Letter Buck. He's winning things like the Caldecott. He's winning the Coretta Scott King Award. He's winning so many awards for his illustration work and in such a high demand. You know, it's people don't know who he is, but that doesn't mean he's not doing great things.
Yeah.
Right. The reason why I asked that question before, you know, why are these black artists overlooked for the contributions that they make? Is it by design or it just, is it new to us or whatever? Is it new to?
I think that people are so used to just art being everywhere that it's just part of the scenery kind of to them. They just think it's there. You know, art isn't everything. Art is just there. And when you think of art, when you think, you know, you think of crafts, you think of all that as a kid, you don't think of it as something that is important. You think of it as a hobby, right? Something pretty. Until you realize the necessity for it, you don't realize its value. So people may have art all around them and not even realize that it's art. There are things that they take advantage of or use in everyday life, yet they don't realize that that had to be created by a creative human being. Someone had to think that up and create it. It's just because it's such a part of their everyday life that they don't really see it anymore. It's only when it goes missing that they start to realize its value.
Right. Go ahead,
right.
Michelle.
You know,
Go ahead, Mr. Rogers. For a lot of us,
our understanding of what art is comes from one place, and that's the Cosby Show.
Yeah, that famous
of understanding of what black art is. You know, though, that work that we saw in there, that's what we learned from. You know, Ernie Barnes is on there. David Driscoll. Ellis Wilson, you know, all these people were on the show, and that look that you saw on the show is what kind of defined what black art is to a lot of us. The same way, you know, we as African Americans, where did we learn what our image or our understanding of African royalty come from? That's not a rhetorical question. Yeah, where did we get our understanding of African royalty?
I got my understanding for African royalty from reading.
Right, but a lot
not
of us got it from coming to America.
Not for traditional media.
I got my understanding of African royalty
from reading and listening to scholars.
A vast majority of us got it from coming to America.
Yeah, I was going to say, I got mine from my grandma.
I got mine from
my grandmother. Yes, ma'am.
So why you had to open a can of worms, Mr. Rod? You see, that they're going to jump all over us. Go ahead.
Right. Well, a lot of what most African Americans my age, you know, I'm in my early 50s, growing up with the Cosby Show, that style of work that we saw, that's what we knew to be black art. But it is so much more than that. You know, that begs the question is, so what qualifies something to be black art? Is it the work itself, what it depicts, or is it the artist, or is it a combination of both? Because I know black artists who can paint other things than black scenery, and I know some artists who only paint black scenery.
And there are white people who paint could be seen as black art.
Absolutely. So, again, a lot of what we know comes from the mainstream media.
Always trying to steal something in our culture, but what can you say?
Yeah.
But it also, again, it comes to what mass media does. And you know, an example of that is, you know, my wife can tell you about how she curated Delilah for Oprah Winfrey in her own network. She placed artwork on that show of artists of color, and I'll let her speak to that.
And the dilemma with that, to be quite honest, I work with fine artists of color, and I make sure that they get paid. I make sure that they get paid the value of their work, because even other people of color will undervalue the work of artists of color. But it was quite a fight for me to get these artists to be paid their worth. People don't understand what goes into creating a piece of art. People don't understand what goes into creating a fine art. You know, the cost. I mean, I bought my husband a tube of paint that's $70 for something as big as your finger. You know, and he paints huge canvases. People don't understand the value of it, and they try to charge you less than even the cost of the material because they said, much less your skill. They don't even think about charging you, paying you for your skill. They want to pay you less than the cost of the material because they figure, well, it's just a drawing. But if it's just a drawing, why don't they do it? You know?
Right.
Why don't they do it? I can't do what my husband and the artists I represent do. I watch them do what they do and see what it takes for them to create the things that they create. So I understand the value firsthand. And for me, the organizations that we have, our mission is to pretty much teach everyone else that what the value of this artwork is.
Michonne, I know you still have some more questions for our guests.
Okay. As an artist, do you hide behind a mask to hide your vulnerability?
No, I don't. No, I'm very transparent about my process, about who I am, what I'm trying to communicate. I don't try to shield anyone from. See, my background, I've been teaching on a collegiate level for, like I said, over 20 years. So I'm very comfortable talking about my work, talking about the process, talking about the industry in itself. I could go forever about that. That's
I think that what I've noticed from the, especially the young men of color that I've represented, is that they use their artwork to express their vulnerability because they cannot do so with their words. So what they're feeling comes out through their artwork. That's the only way that they know how to express it. So what they're uncomfortable saying, they're much more comfortable painting.
Right.
As an artist, what is your responsibility to self?
It is to be true to self. It is simply that. And there are some boundaries, you know. Not everything is for everyone. We have a group of friends that we hang out with that are artists, and we all talked about doing a sketchbook show.
Mm-hmm.
And at first everybody was like, oh, hell no. No, can't do that. Can't do that, because a sketchbook is a place where, you know, you can go to throw your concerns or your issues down a well and not have them come back up. Yeah, and it's a brain dump. And, you know, some artists they're excited about it, and a lot of them are like, no, nobody can see that, because, you know, I always reference a passage in the Bible that is the patron scripture for artists, and it's Daniel 8:28, I believe 8:27, I think it is. But it talks about, I was astonished by the vision, yet no one understood it. And it talks about the vision that was given to Lot as he was leaving, getting ready to leave Sodom and Gomorrah, and he's told he can't tell anybody. And if he did, you know, they would be doomed to the fate of the city. And the reason why, if you think about it, that he couldn't tell anyone, it wasn't that he couldn't, it's that he shouldn't. Because if he had told people what was getting ready to happen, what was going on in his mind, they would have labeled him a heretic, a crazy person, and probably locked him up, and he never would have been able to get out, as God had instructed. So with artists, it's a cross to bear. It's we have these visions in our mind that, you know, some of the stuff we can't, it's not meant for everybody to see. It's meant for us to put on paper for ourselves. We do art for art's sake. And if we choose to share it, then so be it. But it still doesn't stop it from being art.
Okay, when an artist creates their work, and once it leaves the artist's hands, the conjectures, meanings, and interpretations might not be intended to convey what the artist created. How do you feel about that?
It is what it is.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to look at artwork and see in it what they want to see.
Exactly. Yeah, I always think that good art is work that speaks to the needs of many different people. You can have one piece that the artist did, and in his mind or his or her mind, it's meant to convey a certain thing. And then you'll have multiple people come by, and this is what I love about shows and listening to people taking artwork. People will come by, and if they can, this piece makes them stop and look and take from it whatever they need, that is a wonderful piece of art. So as long as the artist has poured out of themselves what pour into that work, then that, I believe, is the end of what that artist, the responsibility. And the beautiful part of it is when that work goes out there and means something to so many other people.
Yeah, you can't control what other people think and feel. You know, that those are all individual experiences, and art, that is not about art. You know, I don't want to go down that discussion about what is art.
don't do it.
No, tell us. Go ahead. Go down that road. What is art?
No,
because
we don't have time for that.
I don't know
what
really art is.
We don't have time.
I go to the sports arena. To me, that's art. So tell me what art is really is, Mr. Rogers.
You can't.
You opened up that can.
It's not. It's not. It would be like me force feeding you a cake and you never being able to taste it. So I'm not going to shove a cake down your throat. I'm going to give you a chance to taste it. Or better yet, you know, my wife, she's from Trinidad, so she cooks Caribbean food. It would be like me. It would be like me eating the oxtail, and then trying to tell you how it tasted.
Okay.
You need to taste that yourself. You need to go on that journey yourself.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And so, me telling you that is a very simple answer. It's a very simple answer.
No,
but I can't do the art world justice by just revealing that. You have to go down that journey. But you know, people talk about what it is to. You know, for art, is it an expression? Is it emotion? Is it no, those things are all existential, and we don't share those. You know, you can look at a fire truck, and we say that it's red. So then my next question would be, well, why is it red?
Okay.
And the only answer you can logically give me is because you were told that it was red. But is it truly red? Is that what you see? We see and experience things differently. If I were to take your hand and slam it into a car door and then turn around and tell you that it doesn't hurt, would I be wrong? No, I wouldn't, because it didn't hurt me.
I think getting your hand slammed in a car door does hurt.
Well, you see what you did? You see what you did.
But does it? It doesn't hurt me.
Well,
if
you slam the door on my hand, it hurts like the dickens.
Okay,
is that if you slam my hand in the door, it's gonna hurt you?
I get that, brother. I get that, but it's that's your experience, and that's the same thing with the art.
The art is
the door that I just slammed on my own hand, and you decide to take a picture of that. Or film that and go home, it may not feel the same for you. You may not feel that pain. And I have, as an artist, I have to be okay with that, because I understand that emotions, feelings, experiences are all different for each one of us.
All subjective.
Yeah.
Right. And just like music, you know, some people like jazz, some people don't. Jazz do for some people, that do for... Yeah, okay. And speaking of doors... Mr. Rogers, speaking of doors, you mentioned earlier that some of these doors were closed to black, or used to be closed to black artists, and now they're starting to open up. Why aren't they open up much faster in 2021 as opposed to 1971?
Well, that wasn't me. That was Mrs. Rogers.
Mrs. Rogers, speaking of doors, can you expand on that question?
I think that we are at a point in our lives where we realize that we don't have to take just because you say it is so. I had an exhibit at a museum here, and one of the gentlemen that came to the exhibit told me, I only came in here because you were doing this exhibit, because I wouldn't have come to it because they don't think we belong here. And I said to him, well, what good would that do? If someone said to me, you don't belong here, and I turned around and walked away, they've won. So, you know, I go about it a little bit away. I do what my grandma taught me to do, because grandmas are amazing. And you know, I kind of talk to them and convince them that it is their idea to at least let me peek in the door. When that door opens up a little tiny bit, I stick my toe in. And then I, little by little, wiggle my way right in and hold my hand behind me and pull people along with me. I think that the reason why things are opening up more now is because we are making that demand. We are valuing ourselves more. A lot of us tired of, you know, being held back and being told what to do. So we're taking that stand, and we're feeling braver, and we're feeling stronger. And, you know, we're realizing that it is a choice, and that we should be there, and that we have the right to make demands. So doors are starting to open up because we are demanding that.
Well, and I think another side of that is the social political aspect of it. When you start looking at the landscape of America, and I'm just going to speak on America, it's changing. And art reflects life the same way that life reflects art. And the socioeconomic landscape is changing. And people who are in power, who have the power to make purchases, are making non-traditional purchases that are now becoming traditional purchases. You can say it's a trend that, you know, black art is trending, artists are trending. Well, sometimes trends become the norm. Jazz was a trend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, steel pan music was a trend. It's time. The timing is right. I mean, it's a cultural shift.
I want to say something else about that cultural and social shift, because people like me, if you look at me, my dad is Syrian. My mom, her dad, her father's white, her mother's straight from the Congo. There are a lot more people like me whose family look like a whole bunch of different people and who is loved and loves people of many different colors. They're loved by and they also love. So, you know, we are all kind of each other and recognizing the worth in each other as well. You know, the stereotypes, as the races are mixing, as we are traveling, as there is more diverse types of family, we have no choice but to realize the value in each other. And that does cause social and political changes as well.
Right. And also, you know, you've got collectors of color that are forcing the change in the landscape. You've got some amazing talent that's out there. You've got work that is being purchased, you know, at Christie's auction for millions, tens of millions of dollars. And they're all works from artists of color. So the industry itself is dictating it. And if we're smart enough, if we are enterprising enough, and if we are dedicated enough as artists of color, we should take advantage of this and find our place, carve out our place, or make our own as we are doing.
We also have a lot of who have the financial ability to support. We have entertainers of color, people of color who have a certain status that are using that to reach back and support these artists of color as well. So, you know, there's more in place now to support that than there was before. So just a growth in that direction. And I guess the mission is to find a way to make that sustainable.
So do you feel there is a relationship between the art community and a regular black community, such as Baltimore, low-income communities?
Yeah,
because even if you look at, okay, let's take this for example. We go back and we look at, you know, tagging and graffiti.
Okay.
It wasn't considered art. It was looked
but
upon
now it
as,
is.
As...
Now it is. In fact, you
right,
get
because
locked up
you need...
for graffiti.
Right, now
right.
They pay you for
murals. In the Bronx,
right.
You did. Now, I don't know about in North Carolina, but in Brooklyn and the Bronx, if they catch you,
oh, that's my house.
You had a problem.
Right.
That's my house, but I'm paying artists big money from clients who want murals.
Right,
so they're in demand.
You know, that speaks to when they need to activate a space, when they need to start, unfortunately, to gentrify a space. First thing they want to do is decorate it, and they want to put art on it to give it value. So art has value, has intrinsic value, has a tangible value. It can change communities. And all the artists who are in those communities who used to do that type of work, all they got to do is find a mentor, find an outlet that's going to show them how to monetize and legitimize what they're doing. I mean, you got artists now who, I know a few of them, who make a living decorating sneakers.
Yeah.
That, you know, wow. They're painting sneakers for some of the Carolina Panthers and some of the Charlotte Hornets. They're getting paid thousands of dollars for them.
Okay.
Because the
I see those sneakers on the floor. I thought they were just, you know, selling new type of sneakers. I didn't know they were having artists paint their sneakers.
Oh, yeah.
Different brands are finding, are partnering with artists to just, you know, create something new.
Right.
Okay, Ms. Rogers, I know we're supposed to be doing this on a monthly basis. What artists you gonna have on this show next month? Did you identify anyone?
We have Mr. Trey Miles coming up.
His name is John
Miles III. We call him Trey. John Miles, M-I-L-E-S, the third.
Okay.
And we call him Trey.
Everybody calls him
Trey. He is an incredible collage artist that is growing by leaps and bounds here.
Okay.
So, yes. We'll have an exhibit for him in July, and we'll have him for you next month.
Okay, great. Michonne, why don't you just... let's finish up the show. What question do you have for the guest? What's your question?
Okay. How do you help people find their voices through art?
You give them... I mean, it depends really on who you're talking about. I mean, when an artist comes to me for support, all I do is give them no boundaries and support, a safe place to just be themselves. I think that's the same thing I would do with children. You don't give them really too many restrictions. You just create a safe space where they feel that they're acceptable. I know a lot of people like to tell an artist how to create or what they should do or what sells or this, you know, how to art. And I get, you know, I have this saying, you don't tell an artist how to art. You just really give them unconditional support and you help them with the tools and then just let them be. Just let them be and let them pour from what's in themselves.
Let me ask you a personal question. I'm going to ask you a personal question. And some people are going to think this question is like a joke. But, you know, I coached for 27 years. And there were some guys that would try out for the team, thought they was great, but they weren't that good to make the team. Now, have you ever ran across some artists who thought they were artists, but they really weren't artists?
Yes. I've been told that I am I'm brutally honest, but I'm also compassionate. So somehow I find words to say that. It's a hard thing to do, to tell people. And sometimes at the end of the day, if a person feels that they are an artist, who am I to tell them that they're not? They might not be creating the type of art that I can help in, you know. But if they see themselves as an artist, that's who they are. Now, what type of artist? There are many different types of artists. So I will give my opinion for sure. If the person is dedicated and persistent, I might, in the palette table, what they do is each artist mentors the person that comes in. So that person can go learn from any of the other artist family there. So, you know, we make things available for them to learn if they want to learn. And if you tell a person that, hey, I really don't think that this is for you, they have the right to still say, well, yes, it is. It's what I want to do. And then that's what they need to prove to themselves, not to me.
How about you, Mr.
But
Rogers?
But then there's a way I can help them or not.
Well, not you know, it goes back to my saying earlier that, you know, I think everyone can learn technique. I can teach you creativity. I can teach you the elements of art, principles of design. I can teach you what not to do, but one thing that I cannot do as a teacher, as a professor, art instructor, art mentor, I cannot teach you passion.
Mm-hmm.
That is purely yours. That is the unknown. And if you don't have the passion, then you are not going to be up at 3 o'clock in the morning working on something that no one else is ever going to see just to improve on what you're going to do.
Yeah, I used to do that in sports as a coach. You know, I could teach technique. I could design defenses and whatnot. There's one thing I cannot teach is heart. Certain things you got to be born with. And that's one of them when it comes to the gridiron. I would just like to thank you for coming on the show, Mr. and Mrs. Rogers. It's been an honor to speak with you guys. I know I'm going to speak with y'all again, and I'm looking forward to meeting your students.
Can I say two things, though, before we leave?
Sure, go right ahead.
The name of the gallery is 989 Studio Gallery. And 9/18/9 is the date when my husband and I became a collaboration. So, and then we have been together, for 11, 12 years now. The second time around.
It's usually, that's on the men that can't get the numbers right. The women know the exact day, the exact time, the weather, the sex street. That's on us.
It's been forever, ever.
Well, that's great. Okay, guys. I guess I'll talk to you, Mr. Miles, next month. Okay, I'm looking forward to it. Lee Sean, what's going on for tomorrow on your show?
Well, we're supposed to have a guest, but I haven't heard back from the guest, so I got to get back with Justin. So I should know probably tonight. For
what's
sure.
going to be the topic if the guests come on?
Well, we were going to talk about mental health.
Yeah, it's needed.
In
the
black community.
And with mental health, you know, black folks still is resistant and acknowledge that we do have health issues in the community. I'm looking forward to it, listening to that show. Okay, guys, that's it for another week. And let's thank Mr. and Mrs. Rogers from 9/18/9 Studio Gallery. The day that Mrs. Rogers cannot remember that she met her husband, but that's okay. As always, I thank y'all for listening and downloading the show. As always, I am because we are. We are because I am. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Night.
Good night.